This audio presentation is the teaching of Walt Moniz of New Hope, East Hawaii. Today's message entitled The Way of Love was delivered on February 13th, 2022. Here now is Walter.
With it, like you always do. We thank you for this opportunity and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, and then this morning, we all said hi to Pastor Scott because he's not here. He's celebrating his anniversary, and I'm so glad he got to do that. And I'm glad for guys like the next guy coming up because I never have to do the message this morning. But Brother Walt went up to Pastor Scott and said, hey, you take the time off. We want you to go refresh, enjoy your marriage. And go ahead and celebrate. And he gets to do the message this morning. And he also was doing worship. So this guy is very good. You're never going to catch me doing that, okay? But would you welcome my brother Walt?
Hey, good morning, everybody. First off, happy anniversary, Pastor Scott. So glad that you get to really celebrate priorities, taking care of your wife. We know you serve God with your whole heart, but I am so grateful for the legacy that you've instilled in this body here and what God is doing. The fact that you get to go and do this, I've been in a part of other congregations where pastors, they just have such a heavy hand on the congregation that they would thinking about going away on vacation would never cross their mind. But he, Pastor Scott, such a servant leader and such a great example that such a good faith in God that he's trained up people around him, you know, that'll be able to take care of everything. And he know God got us. And I just want to say thank you for this congregation, you know, that the people that step up and come and serve so that our pastor is able to go and do this. Because we know when he come back, he's going to be refreshed, renewed, and we don't want him to get worn out. So happy anniversary, Pastor Scott, and we can't wait, you know, till you guys get back and hear the story, and may the Lord continue to bless you and watch over you and make the way safe, and in all that you guys do, bless you with favor. And bring you guys back home safely. No, stay away too long, because Pastor Aaron going to have to take over. We were discussing this morning, and Pastor Aaron said, yeah, you better come back. He was like, yeah, he's on deck, man. If you don't make it back, he's a man. So happy anniversary. Speaking of anniversary, there's a story about a man and a woman. They were going to celebrate their 25th year anniversary. So the husband was like, you know, babe, for your 25th year anniversary, I'll take you to New Zealand. Take it to a foreign country where we get to learn the culture. You know, we get to see where the Lord of the Rings was filmed and go see where the hobbits live in the Shire because it's still there. And she was like, oh my gosh. She felt so blessed. And she was like, oh babe, if you do this for the 25th anniversary, I can't imagine what you could be doing for our 50th anniversary. And he was like, oh honey, that's easy. That's when I come to pick you up. Oh yeah. Well, anyway, happy Valentine's Day Eve. You know, when you're celebrating Valentine's, you know, love is in the air. Everywhere I look around, love is in the air. In every sight and every sound, right? What about what's love got to do with it? I don't know if you guys realize it, but I do all my own choreography. What's love but a secondhand emotion? What about this one? The things we do for love, like walking in the rain and the snow where there's nowhere to go, and you feel just like a part of you is dying, and you're looking for the answer in her eyes. You say you want to break up, but instead she wants to make up. So today we're going to be looking at the way of love, right? We'll delve into this topic. To truly understand a word We must first, you know, understand its meaning. So let's look at what the world defines in the dictionary, what love is. The dictionary defines love as a noun, an intense feeling of deep affection, a deep romantic or sexual attachment to someone. Number three, a great interest and pleasure in something. Or in tennis, signifying a score of zero or nil. I'll be back 25 years. But let's look at, so this is dealt with in the verb to feel a deep romantic or sexual attachment to someone. It's a feeling to like very much or find pleasure in. That's how the world defines love. It's very emotional. It's very sensual. Yes. Next, let's look at what the Bible defines as love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Ha ha, good for you. But rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. And love never fails. Now we have two opposing forces, right? The way of love and the way of the world or the flesh. One is self-centered, what makes me feel good. I want to do it because I want to do it. The other is selfless. It focuses on other, is patient, is kind. One is driven by emotions, needs, or pleasure versus one driven by not mere emotions, but rather the act of serving, of being concerned for the well-being of others. Does not seek his own, does not take account of a suffered wrong, bears all things. That brings us to our first point. Love motivates us to action. It is a driving force, not just a feeling, but a force for action. Because love is patient, action. Love is kind, action. A good example is living a healthy lifestyle. We may enjoy doing that. We may enjoy working out, enjoy living a godly life, serving in ministry, you know, volunteering, maybe having hobbies that are good, hunting, fishing, surfing, paddling, napping. That's my favorite hobby, you know, because I like it so much that when I'm sleeping, I'm dreaming, I'm napping, you know? But there are bad examples as well, that we can be driven by emotion, addictions, a great interest and pleasure in something to like very much, find pleasure in. It can be bad things like drugs or alcohol, pornography, violence, hostility, strife. It's the motive behind the action, whether it's going to work out for good or bad. I'll tell you about, as far as being driven, I'll tell you a little story about myself. When I was younger, in middle school, I dated this one girl. Long black hair, beautiful brown eyes. We went to the same junior high school. And, you know, we lived about a mile apart. So we would spend a lot of time together. After school, I'd either be at her house or she'd be over at my house. And, you know, we had a very good relationship. You know, I felt and I enjoyed being with her. And I think she kind of enjoyed being with me as well. So the motivation was, you know, a mutual enjoyment of each other. But what happened is the following year, she was moving. She was going to be going to a different school. And, you know, I was going to be staying where I was at. She was going to be moving over into her brother's place, who lived about 6 miles away. You got some of you guys thinking, 6 miles, that's nothing. And we live on an island, 6 miles, just planning. And at 14, you don't have many options, you know. I don't got my license. You know, I can't drive, you know. But what I would do is, some days after school, a couple, three times a week, and even on the weekends, I would ride my bike 6 miles to go and see her. You know, at first we thought we was going to break off the relationship because it was long distance. 6 miles. Hey, when you're 14, the world's small, you know. But we continued the relationship, you know, and I continued doing that, you know, every day, going over, like biking 2-3 times a week, 6 miles, hang out with her until it comes dark and ride my bike back home. I was motivated, you know, because I enjoyed being with her. And I was like, you know, you complete me. But it's not about, you know, just the feeling. It's about the action, you know. That's what motivated me, because I enjoyed being with her. And I'm never going to forget her. Never going to forget her. You know, she was a big part of my life. And the reason why is because I'm blessed every morning to wake up and see her beautiful face. That's good. Long distance relationships can't work out. So as believers, the basis or the motivation, the motive behind what we do is very important. The why of love. The why of the way of love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. It says, you know, if we speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love. That means we can speak any language, even the words of the angels. But if we don't have love, we're nothing but making noise. Nothing but a gong or a clanging cymbal. If you have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries, that means you know the Bible back to front. You can prophesy. And if you have all faith, and we're talking faith to move mountains, that's like, you know, a bag of mustard seed faith, not just one mustard seed. I mean, we're talking about a guy that would be the headline speaker at the Foursquare conference coming up this summer. That's the kind of guy. But if you don't have love, if it's not motivated by love, I am nothing. It is nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor. Now, the Bible tells us we should be doing stuff like that. This is a biblical command. But if I do it without love, you know, it's nothing. It's a big, fat zero. Or in tennis, nil. Yeah? 15, love. So what is that that motivates us? The way of love is most evident in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He was motivated. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It was the love that motivated the action for him to give and to give all that he had. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love while we didn't deserve it. While we didn't deserve it. While we were yet sinners. While we were enemies to him. When we were working for the other camp. It's not that when we had it all together and we was all clean and we was all holier than thou, that we came to present ourselves to the Lord. And that's why he said, okay, looks like you deserve it. No, it was when we were in the muck and the mire, when we were totally in contradiction to him, he never lost sight of the love that he has for us. So that's when he sent his son to die for us. Number two, love shows that it's sacrificial. in 1 John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. And that's exactly what God did, what Christ did. He left heaven to become a man, to put on the man suit, and not just any man. He didn't come to be honored, to be worshiped, to be a king, though he was deserving. He came to be a servant. One of the greatest things I see through humility in the life of Christ is when they were in the upper room, and you know, when they did the Last Supper and everything. But before that, what did Jesus do? He washed their feet. The creator of the universe put a towel on his waist, got a basin full of water, knelt down, and washed their feet. All their feet. Even whose feet did he wash? Judas. He even washed Judas's feet, knowing full well what was going to happen. That is the way of love. And he says to his disciples, you see what I did for you? Can you do that for each other? Love does not seek its own way, is not provoked, takes no account of a wrong suffered. Jesus was done wrong. I mean, in the history of the world, there was no greater injustice done to an individual than what was done to Christ. No greater injustice. Totally innocent, pure, lived a sinless life. Yet he was, at the hands of the Jewish leaders, suffered and was crucified by the Romans. Love is slow to anger and quick to forgive. Here's one to write down. Psalms 145:8. You're not going to see it on the screen, so you got to go look it up yourself. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. See, the flesh seeks what's pleasing to itself, and it lives at the expense of others. It makes excuses, tries to justify its actions. Who's been there? Who's done that? Yeah, two hands. But it was Christ who came and demonstrated and modeled the life that we were called and designed to live. Point number three, the way of love bears fruit. And the fruits of the Spirit are, in Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, which against such things, there is no law. Kind of goes hand in hand with the definition of love we just looked at. Love is patient. Love is kind. Is not jealous. Does not brag. Is not arrogant. It's the fruit that it bears. The way of love bears fruit. Now, what are the fruits of the flesh? In Galatians 5:19-21, you guys have to look up that one too. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before. So it's the second time. I warned you. And I warned, as I warned you before. This is Apostle Paul talking to the church in Galatia. That those who do such things will what? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom. Now, who is he addressing this letter to? Is it to the people? Unbelievers? No, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. Those, the church in Galatia. He's saying, turn away from this wickedness. If you continue to walk in the way of the flesh instead of the way of love, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 2:2. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, from the right motive, the way of love, from an inner purity washed and transformed by the Holy Spirit, and walking in the way of love, not like the Pharisees, who were more concerned with appearing holy through religious rituals and practices. It's not about doing church. It's about being the church. It's about walking in the way of love and denying yourself to pick up your cross, to not let sin committed against you produce sin in you, but to forgive, to love. Blessed are those that are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those of the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What motivates us? You know? What motivates us? Is it things of the world? Do we live just for ourselves like egotistical maniacs? Or do we learn and follow the example of Christ, how he walked the earth? In humility, in love. There's so many times when he came across people, what did he have? He had compassion. There's one time when he, you know, going to town and he sees a funeral procession and this widow who lost her son. You know, in those times, there was nobody else that could provide for her. That was her only source of sustenance or of living was to be taken care of by her son. And here, she's getting ready to put him in the ground. Christ sees this. The lady didn't ask him for it. Nobody said nothing. But he had compassion. Compassion for her. Personally. And that's what he wants to have with you. Compassion. Personally. He says, look, I did not create you to live self-centered, to live selfishly. I created you in my image to be love, to be forgiving, to be compassionate, to love one another. Number four, final point. God is love. 1 John 4, 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God. For God is love. See, in the garden, what happened? When Adam, you know, walked in the cool of day with God, when he was there naming the animals and kicking it with Eve, he was connected to love, to the source of love. Everything was provided for him, for them. But when sin entered the garden, he became separated from love, from the source of love. And ever since that separation, man has been in search of love. And sometimes we find other things to try to fill that void, you know. But there's only one thing that can fill that void, and it's Jesus. And it's Jesus. That's what we need to come to the realization. You know, we've been striving. We've been trying to get ahead. You know, we've been getting all we can, canning all we get, and just sitting on the can. But it's not the way of love. By this, the love of God was made manifested in us. It was manifested that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The word propitiation is hilasmos in the Greek. It means atonement. Christ became our substitute, assumed our sin debt and guilt, covered it and paid for it by the punishment which he endured on the cross. 1 John 4, 7-11 goes on, not one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us when we love one another. By this we know that we abide in him. This is how we can know we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Holy Spirit as a testimony to his love and the abiding that we have in him. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. He abides in him, in every believer who professes the name of God. God chooses to live in you. By this love is perfected. Okay. Therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. So when we're going through our growth process and we still have our doubts, we still have our questions, we still have our fears, understand we are still a work in progress. But you are his masterpiece. You are still being perfected in love, in the way of love. We love because he first loved us. So we're not the source of love. We know that God is the source of love. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that is from God, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. The two greatest commandments that Jesus left us are to love God with all your heart, mind, body, and strength, with everything you have. To love your neighbor as yourself. Now on these two hang all the laws and the prophets. The whole Ten Commandments and all the prophets hang on those two. Because if we love God, you know, we can show love to our neighbor. If we love God, we're not going to use his name in vain. You know, we're not going to worship idols because we love God. If we love our neighbor, we're not going to steal. We're not going to covet. We're not going to commit adultery. You know, we're not going to do them wrong. Everything hangs on the way of love. Everything hangs on the way of love. Thank you, Lord. You know, I don't know where you stand with your relationship with the Lord. If you have never, you know, you hear this message and you say, yeah, I hear what you're saying, the way of love, but I haven't yet established a relationship in Christ. I have yet to profess, you know, Christ as my Savior. What I'd like to do now, if we get the worship team to come up here, is give you an opportunity to do that. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if there's anyone out there that would like to start the way of love, to walk down that path, and to ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, to begin a personal relationship with him, I ask you, raise your hand right now. All right? Raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. You see the hands, Lord. You see the hearts. Follow me in this prayer. Say it with me. Father God, thank you for Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I believe he is your son. That he died on the cross so my sins could be forgiven. And he rose from the dead so I could have eternal life. I repent of my sin, and I turn from my sin. And I look to you for forgiveness. Lord, I accept you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. Come live in me. Come mold me. Change me. Help me to become the person you created me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you pay that, if you pray that for the first time, or even if you just recommitted yourself to Christ, to the way of love, you are now a child of God. Thank you so much, Father God, for the gift of salvation, Lord. Thank you so much for the way of love, Father God, that you instill in us, that you led the way and actually came to show us how to walk in that way. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and modeling what God's love truly looked like, to actually show us the Father by the way you live, Lord. And you call us to follow you. We know we can't do it on our own, Father God, so we look to you and the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you, Lord, and we're excited for what you're doing in this world, Lord God. For you, we know that your coming is soon nigh, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Woo, thank you, Lord. All right.
Let us go out here with praise and worship to our King. We thank you, Lord, for your word, Father God. We thank you for your love that you showed us, Lord, that you continue to show us every day, Father God. And we just praise you and honor you. Will everybody stand and we can leave here praising God.
You've been listening to Walt Moniz of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.